Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again today is Lauren Brown from the Catholic Foundation. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you, Father.
Great to have you. Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to form us as disciples of your Son, disciples who freely and gladly lay down their lives to serve those around them and to serve the Lord. We ask that you renew and strengthen us with this great gift of generosity and service through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Lauren, you know, in the first bit of our conversation, as we were kind of talking about your own story, we talked about families and how families kind of leave this legacy of faith. And it's not just in the practice of the faith and children kind of personally taking ownership of it, but also really in the stories that surround it. And I think with that in mind, you know, I was really struck by kind of the legacy we leave, especially in our giving and in our stewardship as disciples. And I was wondering if we could talk about how, as a disciple, do we kind of use the gifts that the Lord has given us to continue His mission and to build up the church?
I think the three parts of stewardship need to be reminded often of: the time, talent, and treasure. And we offer our time and to others, maybe in volunteering, and our talents of skills and our backgrounds, maybe sitting on a board or volunteering. And so we offer those talents. And then our treasure. And so with treasure, you know, a lot of times I'll get the question, well, don't we have to be wealthy? No, our treasure is... you know, certainly the gifts that God has provided us and entrusted us during life. And so how do we, as a legacy, think about, as a family, where are we at in our life, and what has God given us? And we're so blessed with maybe a Catholic education, or maybe this beautiful parish that we've learned, and our children have come through the sacraments and the schools, and maybe we have someone in the family in religious life, and what a gift that is, and how did that happen? So we look at those things in terms of our treasure and say, how can I pass that on to the future, what God has given me? Now, often, as Catholics, we haven't thought about that in terms of legacy. We think of terms of the offertory and supporting maybe a campaign, but we haven't necessarily thought about a legacy or a planned gift way of supporting these wonderful gifts in our church. So I think as a family, you look at where you're at and what God has given you in life, and then you ask, how can I pass that on? And that's what the legacy is. And what I would quickly just say to people is, as an example, if you have three children in your life, more than likely the legacy will be, from a financial or treasure standpoint, you're probably going to leave those assets to your three children. Let's think about our faith as a fourth child. Let's think about a percentage or something that we can do at the end of our life, or even during life, to pass on some of these gifts to the church, so that the future of our faith has the resources to continue to give that gift to others.
Excellent. The you know, when we think about disciples as in our relationship to I think maybe the issue of money, or, you know, like our income or whatnot. The idea first, I mean, with all stewardship, is first of all, it is a blessing from the Lord, that it's ultimately the Lord's, that He's kind of given us as the word stewardship means, you know, a certain custody of, you know, and we think of the parables of the servants with talents and things like that, or, you know, and that really does kind of set up this idea that really all that we have, including our life itself, is a gift from the Lord, that we basically are a steward of. So with that, I think, you know, there, you know, like some people that I've run into ask this sort of question: well, do I give now, or do I give at the end of my life? And you had just brought this up.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, you know, how do we kind of discern whether we want to give now,
yeah,
or is it better maybe towards the end of our life?
Well, it's a great question, because we need to, obviously we have responsibilities, right? First of all, we have a responsibility in our church to be a steward and to support our faith. And we do that through the offertory. We do that through gifts where we're being asked to support something major, maybe. And so, you know, that's during life, we have that responsibility and to take care of our family. We can, as a foundation, we can help you coordinate that current giving, we'll call it, during life, like a donor advised fund, and create peace of mind so that a donor can, a faithful person in a parish could create this fund and use it for all of its charity, all the charity they do during life. And they might even attach to that fund agreement so that their children take over the ownership, or the management of where those gifts go after they pass. That fund might also create a plan, a peace of mind that converts into something permanent when they pass. So now we're getting to your point of legacy. And so a lot of people will do that during life, create a way of giving that has a plan, if there's a balance to that fund that goes to a legacy kind of gift to permanently support maybe the parish or the parish school. The other way is that if you just simply look at what God has entrusted you with and blessed you with during life, insurance policies, with pension programs, 401ks, and property, and just, you know, just whatever you've been blessed with that you are entrusted with, you can actually create a plan through the Catholic Foundation where a portion of that, a percentage of that, or something can go to a fund that supports our faith. Again, parishes, schools, and ministries. And so there's two ways to do it, during life and a plan when you pass and go to heaven. That plan typically has some coordination with your professional advisor, like your financial planner or your estate planning attorney. And so the foundation works in conjunction with them and you to create a plan. And it really, I call it a peace of mind, because look how much planning we do to make sure that we have enough health care, that we have something to go to our children. And I just want to remind people of the faith. Let's remember peace of mind to create a legacy or a plan for the future of our faith.
One of the things I wanted to bring up was tithing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people ask this question about, you know, what percentage of my income should I give? You know, now I, of course, always tell them that everything we receive is from the Lord for the poor.
Yeah.
And we are poor in the sense that we have to supply our needs and our family's needs.
Yeah.
But we also need to make sure that we're kind of letting what the Lord puts into our hands slip into, yeah, you know, those who need it,
yeah,
including the church and her mission. And, you know, I think some Protestant denominations propose like a 10%
yeah,
of your income. You know, I've heard some pastors kind of propose 5% to the parish and 5% to whatever you deem as.
Yeah.
I do know that if, you know, if we really look at probably the average Catholic, most of them may give 2% mm-hmm, of their income, at least,
yeah,
probably regular mass-going Catholics.
Right. Well, I think it's a great question and observation with the other faiths and what they do. And, you know, I think you're right on the most Catholics, what they give is probably in that 2 to 5% range. And so, first of all, I think we first need to remember that we have an obligation of stewardship. And if everyone would participate in that, I don't think the percentage of what you give is the point anymore. I think I would rather create awareness that there are opportunities and options for our faithful to give no matter what they can do during life, and certainly as they plan to go to heaven. So I always tell people, if 1%, just 1% of people in the pews who contribute to the offertory, if 1% made a planned gift, meaning some portion of their estate when they die was left to support the future of our faith, as an example, we probably wouldn't have Catholic tuition because there would be enough resources that anyone who wanted a Catholic education could get it. So what that means is we have a great opportunity, and the Catholic Foundation is a great resource for people to ask themselves, am I thinking about what God has entrusted to me so when I go to be with him eternally, I've left something for the future of the faith? Please think about that, and we'll help you with what's the right percentage because, you know, again, you're looking at long-term care, you're looking at taking care of your children and that. So everyone's percentage is different. I just think the volume of people participating in planned giving is so important. If we could increase that, that would be the real answer.
Now, let me ask you a controversial question. Some people are kind of hesitant to give to the church because of the church's management of their money.
Yeah.
So it may be the local pastor, it may be the diocese, it may be, you know, and then of course you throw in lawsuits for the clerical abuse issue. I mean, how do we address these concerns?
Well, again, back to the structure put in place by our founding board and Bishop Griffin, is that this beauty of two laws that we live and work in as a Catholic foundation, one being civilly separate, meaning we are an incorporation in the state of Ohio following the rules and the laws of the state of Ohio. Then with the church, our church laws, the number one law we're looking at here is donor intent, and to ensure that the donor's intentions are, we're in compliance with them.
Thank you so much, Lauren Brown, for joining us. I'm your host, Father Adam Strengberger, and you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. Until next time, peace and all good.